Welcome to the Power User Podcast, brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. In this segment, we're talking about some hot topics in tech news. Joining me today are Derek Batting, NeoWin Site Supervisor, and Brad Wardell of Stardock Corporation. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. So, the first topic that's up today, Google Maps and love. Derek, what's going on with Google Maps and
love, sweet love. Well, the fine folks at Frozen Bear decided to incorporate Google Maps into the Hot or Not sites and have come up with Hot Maps, which is tied to the Hot or Not database. And it allows people on Hot or Not to not only see and vote for each other, but to see where each other is located geographically. And if they're close to each other, they can opt to send each other messages and potentially meet up.
And some of the concern on this topic, I think, was that this could be used as a stalking tool. But in fact, right, that's not the case, right? Well,
no, that's not the
case
at all.
Not a very good stalking tool, at least.
Yeah, it's a pretty lame attempt to, if you tried to use it as a stalking tool. One of the guys that had his hand in programming this, Jeff Marshall, was quoted as saying, "I wouldn't want to pinpoint people by their exact addresses even if I could." He said, "I've read a few comments online about how this is the ultimate stalker tool. I think those comments are partly tongue-in-cheek, but even so, it isn't really a very good stalker tool since it's only groups people by zip code."
Yeah, I mean, Yahoo Personals, pretty much every personal service has the ability to look where someone is in a, you know, in the general vicinity. So yeah, that's nothing new. I think it's kind of a neat toy, and you know, it makes people more likely to go on to Hot or Not. If you didn't, you know, I probably had to put up a picture of yourself in order to join the site, and I don't think the world's ready for pictures of me on their site.
Would it be a Hot or a Not, do you think, Fred?
Well, they only have a positive scale, so, you know, it's a 1 through 10, and since they don't support negative numbers, I'm worried. I wouldn't want to be responsible for crashing their site as people try to find a way to put negative number entries into there.
I see. Well, that would be a shame, of course. Have you been on the Hot or Not site, Brad?
I just discovered it today and been going through and exacting my revenge on all these these nameless people. Oh yeah, you know, based on how good looking they are. Oh yeah, you wouldn't have gone out with me in high school. One for you.
There you go. Sounds like it's been very cathartic for you, Brad.
I'm purging the inner demons.
There you go. All right, so you know, people go on to these things, and you. If you're going to try and do an online dating service, you kind of have to know who's in your area. So Certainly grouping people by zip code, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. And, of course, if you don't want to do it, then don't do an online dating service, for goodness sakes. You know.
It's really not a whole lot different than putting in whatever town you happen to live in or surrounding suburbs and looking for matches that way. This just incorporates an actual interactive mapping system with it rather than just choosing a city from a drop-down box.
You know, and going right along with that, of course, is for those people who, you know, are looking for love but don't want to actually meet people, Amazon has apparently opened a sex store.
It's about damn time.
I couldn't believe it.
Where was I supposed to buy my sex stuff before Amazon.com? Because no one, I mean, is there anything sexual-oriented on the internet? I mean, I certainly can't find it.
And on top of that, you can never find those stores in real life. So certainly,
yeah, they simply don't exist. I mean,
high and low for
thank God someone has finally stepped up to the plate to fill the hole.
I gotta say, I'm frankly surprised that Amazon did this. From the sounds of it, it's not something that, you know, they put out a big press release that's not on their
bitter
front page.
Don't let your bitterness get the best of you.
Did you just say Amazon stepped up to fill the hole?
Ooh.
Well,
anyway,
yeah,
back to the story.
Right. So I think, you know, a lot of people are kind of surprised by this. I'm surprised by it. Some people are outraged, but I don't know if there's really a reason for outrage because Amazon sold pornographic books previously.
Damn straight they did.
And so,
I mean, not that I know personally.
Right, no, of course not you. So the truth is, you know, I don't know what to say about it, as usual. It's like, sex is everywhere. I suppose Amazon felt like they needed to get into that game for some reason or another.
Anything that encourages the objectifying of women has to be applauded and encouraged.
Hmm. Well, I'll just be running over you after the show.
I don't know where that came from.
Right, exactly. Nice try.
I just had to slip that part in.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go again.
Hey, that would segue nicely into our next segment.
Which is?
Psycho bosses.
Psycho bosses. Well, let's go with that topic. Psycho bosses, Brad. He doesn't know anything about being a psycho boss. And I,
of course,
don't have psycho bosses at all. Not me. Not me.
No, your boss is a saint.
Absolutely.
That's what the voices tell me,
and
anyway.
And I do whatever he tells me to do. I love my job.
Yes, I will see it again and again.
Yeah, exactly.
It was better than
I
cats.
I laughed. I cried. It became a part of me.
So, Derek, have you seen this quiz online? This is your boss a psycho quiz?
Well, considering I'm self-employed, I would have to say yes.
Your boss is a psycho, right?
Oh, indeed.
He must have been to hire you. Right. So what is this? I'm looking at this quiz right now. It actually quiz is your boss a psychopath? But it's not like a joke quiz. It's the real thing.
It's a serious one. And
it was created by Robert Hare to evaluate 20 personality traits of your boss. And this was for Fast Company magazine. It's a legitimate quiz.
What kind of questions do they ask here? What do we have?
Some of the ones we have here. Yeah, is he glib or superficially charming? Mm-hmm. Does
hey,
he have a grandiose sense of self-worth? Is he a pathological liar?
Listen to me.
I'm talking. Look over here. Yeah, does he have a blog? Does he do a podcast? Does he keep interrupting people as he tries to speak?
Right. Yes. The scale only goes to 40, but you scored an 87, Brad. I'm telling you.
No!
Yeah, pathological liar, con artist, or master manipulator.
I'm just saying you'd look better if you showed off your attributes.
Right. You know, I don't know if I've had a boss that actually fits into the psychopath category, but I've had some bad bosses. They actually have a link on this website. This is fastcompany.com. They have a link here to...
Who's, by the way, never done a story on Stardock. Bastards.
And why not, I asked them. Why? Look at me.
We've been in business for 75 years, and we've averaged a growth rate of over 1.2%. How can they not call us a fast company? But yeah, they have bosses from hell on there.
Yeah, they do. They have links to what they call a rogues gallery of the manipulative, abusive, and grandiose, which is great.
And downright crooked. Along with that link, they also have Coping with Psychos at Work by
right.
Martha Stout, author of The Sociopath Next Door.
Excellent. So if you're...
Might be worth reading in general.
Exactly. If you've got some problems
at work...
Yeah,
it's actually part of our employee guide here.
Right. If you've got problems at work, you can go... on the one hand, you can go vent, tell your story or listen to other people's stories about bosses from hell. And then on the other hand, you can actually get some good advice on how to cope. So
we have that IP blocked here.
That's right. We don't want people coping, for goodness sakes.
That's right. Yeah, Kristen, the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Right.
Kristen, did you catch the last sentence
what
in
was
that,
that
quiz? We've used the pronoun he, but research suggests psychologists have underestimated the psychopathic propensity of women.
Oh, God.
I'm glad that somebody is finally recognizing my potential.
Not only
at last.
I think half the guys I know have a psychopath ex-girlfriend story
That's
they can
true.
Tell.
That's
and
true.
And some of those women have to be in positions of authority by now.
You would think, right.
The ones that aren't locked up in mental institutions anyway.
Right. Yes, psychopaths comes in all shapes and sizes and genders, so it's certainly not something that's exclusive to men.
They don't just give you those cute little jackets to tie in the back. You have to earn them, you know.
That's right. And I've done my best, but I still haven't gotten one. How in the world are we going to segue into our next topic?
Which is?
It's just not funny at all. Apparently, Microsoft and Google are in a lawsuit over a non-compete. They have an employee who was at Microsoft and is now at Google.
Speaking of manipulative, abusive, and grandiose, Microsoft.
Yeah, I wonder how many people posted about people from Microsoft. We, of course, have only good things to say about both Microsoft and Google.
Because, we love them. They are
they
part of us.
Half of Brad's soul is
kept
in
a jar in Redmond, Washington. So I naturally want to. But on the other hand, Google controls the Google world, and we have Google ads on our site. And so they help pay for Win Customize and NeilWin.net, and we like that. So what? It's like, Mom and Dad, don't fight. You're making us cry.
You're tearing us apart.
Yeah, but yeah, Kai Fu Lee was a vice president, executive at Microsoft. And apparently he worked on MSN Search in some capacity, though that's even sketchy. And he has been hired by Google, and Microsoft launched a lawsuit saying that violates his non-compete with them.
That's amazing. You know, he apparently went on sabbatical, and then he contacted Microsoft to tell them he wasn't coming back from sabbatical and that he was going to go work for Google. And that when he gave them the official notice, they had that lawsuit in motion that day.
That day. You know, and that's amazing because, I mean, Microsoft's developers need 5 years to make a new operating system, but their lawyers can do it in a day. They need to get the lawyers in on the software development side.
Yeah, I don't know. Given a little further thought to that, I don't know if that would be such a good idea. Let's keep them out of it. So apparently this guy's, of course, claiming that there is no violation of the non-compete. He's saying that he's working on completely different things at Google.
He never saw so much as a piece of code from anything relating to Microsoft Search or MSN or anything like that.
But that's not even the point, though. I mean, because he's a vice president, he's privy to all of Microsoft's strategy documents and confidential stuff. I think, and this is a case, God help me, and another couple years in hell after I die, but the evil empire, Microsoft, is right. If he worked on MSN Search in any capacity at all,
then he had any information about it.
Right. I mean, if he worked on MSN Search, whether he was looking at source code or not, this non-compete should be in effect. Because if a non-compete can't keep a guy from going from one search engine job to another search engine job, then why even have non-competes?
Well, you might be right in this situation, Brad, and only in this situation.
Oh.
No, but you might be right in this situation, but of course what it's going to come down to legally is what was actually in that non-compete agreement, and what is he actually doing now?
Well, I think Lee denied that the MSN desktop search was recently developed by his group. He's claiming that he really wasn't involved on it, and so it's gonna be pretty messy. But I think what ticks off Microsoft is that here you have a guy who was an executive, a high-level vice president guy at Microsoft, and now he's gone over to Microsoft's probably most fierce competitor. I mean, because Google's unlike any company Microsoft has ever had to compete with, in that Google's actually competent. I mean, they are an incredibly well-oiled machine. And I say that not just because I have sent my resume over there.
Right.
But they really are, incredibly on the ball. Everyone Microsoft's had to compete with in the past has been just incredibly incompetent, whether that be IBM and OS2 or WordPerfect and Lotus and all the whole nine yards of them were just inept beyond belief. But this time, Google's pretty sharp, and now they're plucking off Microsoft's talent as here in wide, and I think Microsoft's getting fed up.
Well, once again, we're just going to have to wait and see what comes out in the end because, courts are not always – they don't always – even though you might have all the right evidence and all the right things to say, they don't always find in your favor. So,
and not only that, non-competes are still in their infancy on how enforceable they really are.
Yeah, you can bet they're going to pick that apart letter by letter in court. It's going to come down to a Clinton-type scenario where you're going, well, can you define is?
Yeah.
Can you define?
I will say something, though, another thing in favor of the lords and masters of my soul over at Microsoft. They don't do that to other – they may have once done it to other companies. But I know Microsoft's picked off a couple of our guys, and they would not have hired them if we hadn't waived our non-compete. We actually have non-competes here at Stardock, and one of our last guys, he wanted to go there. It was his dream job, but Microsoft wouldn't have hired him if we didn't formally waive the non-compete. They just – they honored it, so to speak. We waived it because, we treat – we like to think of people who work here as our friends, and if you want to work on that stuff, we wanted to let them, but Yeah, Microsoft, when it shoots the other way, at least now, and I'm sure someone listening to this wants to go, are you kidding? Microsoft used to zap, take people from Apple left and right. Well, fine, yo. But today, they seem to be a little bit more sensitive about other people's non-competes.
And, of course, them getting burned a few times is probably plays into that a little bit. All right, well, that's, you know, once again, that's a wait and see, but it's good information to have, and it's something that's important for people to keep in mind when they're signing those non-competes. It really is a serious thing, and they need to take it seriously. So how about this Linus Trademarks Linux? What is going on there? Didn't he have a trademark on that already?
Well, Linux has had a tortured trademark existence, and I don't know, I won't pretend to know the history too well, but I believe it started out even many years ago where someone else tried to trademark it, and eventually got the trademark was turned over to Linus. And last week, a law firm in Australia started sending out letters to companies using the Linux in their product name, demanding $5,000 to use it, as if trademark licenses are like patents. Oh, you're using our invention. Well, you have to license it from us. Well, you know, that obviously turned into a big a big blow up, because suddenly it looks like Linus is going and trying to cash in on the name. And one might argue he has some right to that, but that aside, that was not apparently what they were looking for. That what Linus wants to see happen, and I'm paraphrasing from what reports, is companies that are making a profit from using Linux in their name band together and pay towards a common legal defense fund so that they can enforce their trademark rights, so we don't end up with Linux Cola or Linux Condoms, the ultimate in open source, you know, I mean.
Which could be found on Amazon.
Yes,
on Amazon.com,
so I can use them when I'm going on Hot or Not.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, exactly. It's a circle of life type.
See, only a psycho boss would think of that.
Yes, yeah. So true.
And so there is a legitimate concern. You do not want companies to be able to ride roughshod over the term Linux. I know that if I were the emperor of Microsoft, and let's face it, there's at this point, the leader of Microsoft should be called emperor, not CEO.
Right.
I would be thinking, you know, if they're not protecting the Linux name, we could put out Microsoft Linux. It's not really Linux, but just uses the name.
And
muddy the water, mm-hmm. or only somewhat competitive, and muddy the waters. And I don't think, and just to be clear, I don't think Microsoft is planning to do this, but I'm just saying, if I were the Dark Lord over there.
You would do that, Brad? That's what you're saying?
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you remember my 87 score on the psycho boss?
Oh, thing. Right, yes.
Yeah, as a psycho, I have certain responsibilities
that
to my
true.
Fellow psychos.
You've got to live up to that name.
Yeah, it's
well,
tough.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, then the leprechaun that tells me what to do on that lives on my shoulder would be outraged. But anyway, they have to protect the mark. But
yes.
They have waited so long to start protecting it that it could be pretty tough. And
right.
It's going to certainly be pretty expensive, hence the creation of a new website called linuxmark.org. So they set up a website called linuxmark.org where people who have a vested interest in the mark can band together and put into a common legal defense fund. So it should not be thought of that they're going around. It is not true to think that Linus.
I think it's Linus.
Linus is running around trying to get $5,000 a pop so he can buy a new gold plated house and rocket car.
But
they just
want to
protect the name from scurrilous use.
Yeah, Linus came out and said specifically he wanted to make it clear that he doesn't see a dime of that money. None of it goes directly into his pocket. It all goes right back into Linux in general for, you know, the name and copyright protection, et cetera, et cetera. Also, this has nothing to do with open source software whatsoever. No one's going to have to suddenly start paying for software that was, you know, always open source and always free. It has nothing to do with that. It's strictly a name and a trademark thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of amazing that people have so attached open source and Linux together that they can't separate them in their minds. And they think, oh, well, open source no longer free. And first of all, open source is not necessarily free. Open source is a type of license. You can still charge
right.
money for open source.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, open source is not just on Linux. There's plenty of open source for other operating systems. Even on even on Windows.
All right. Well, excellent information, you two. I really appreciate you joining me, of course, Derek and Brad.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast was brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. Support us by subscribing to us at iTunes, PodNova, or Odeo.com. Look for us every week at www.poweruser.tv.